Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you as always. The blessed name of Christ, my Savior. May I tell you, I never tire of doing that. Never tire of saying that. Oh, look, now I get tired. Don't think I don't get tired. I get tired on the way. But I never tire of the way, friend. And I never tire of what God's called me to. How precious that is. And listen, I've got the greatest calling that man has ever known. You so it is a preacher. Well, it's to tell people like you, friend, if you're lost, that Jesus loves you, that he came to seek and to save that which is lost, and if you'll go to him and call on him with a broken heart, broken and contrite spirit, he'll save you. For those of you that are saved, hey, friend, I tell you that we can rejoice in the Lord knowing that our sins are under the blood, our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we've been sealed with the Spirit, and he's soon to come to take us home. What a day. What a day that will be. Now, the message is not about either one of those things, but I trust that it will be a blessing to you. Out of the book of 2 Peter, right after 1 Peter, right before the book of 1 John, 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to look at the first 7 verses, or as much of them as I can. I'll use verse 3 and 4 of chapter 3 as my text verses, and we'll see what the Lord will do. I'm excited about the message, excited about being here with you. But here's Debbie. She's got a song already queued up, tuned up, ready to go. The title of it is Heaven Awaits. Now, friend, it does, and she's going to tell you in her song, for those who are in the Lord. Are you? You're either in him or out of him. If you're listening, you may know about him, but that's not enough, sir or ma'am. You need to know him as your Savior. You enjoy the song when Debbie's done. I'll be back with the message. Here she
One
is.
One day my labor down here will be yours. On Zion's ship I'll step aboard. I'll soon be sailing across that stormy sea where heaven waits.
friend, the great question is, what awaits you? Look. I'm an old kind of preacher, an old country preacher, old-fashioned preacher, friend, conservative, listen, fundamental. And I want you to know something. Heaven's not the only place in eternity. It's the best place. You can go there if you want to, but there's not only a heaven to gain, friend. There is, rest assured, there is a hell to shun. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 for my text verse. And boy, I appreciate my wife. Doesn't she write beautiful songs? Doesn't she do a good job in the songs that she has written? What a blessing she is to me and, well, I'm sure to you. But Peter said this. He said in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. I want to talk to you today, and I've got two texts. I know I'm going to only use one text, but I've got two texts. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and they said something that seemed to be just not logical, kind of absurd, just like, man, that doesn't make any sense. And you'd say, you've got to be kidding. Well, Peter set before us an apparent absurdity. Now, I've got to choose which text I use for this message. Both of them are fitting, and both of them are just exactly conveying what Peter says here. I mean, to tell you, it's funny. When I read this, I laugh, and I think of the scoffers, and they say what they do. They say, hey, all things continue. Now, this is their reasoning. This is their rationale. All things are, nothing's changed in this life. It's been this way ever since the beginning. You know what I want to ask them? I want to ask them, are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding. You know what I really want to say? You've got to be out of your mind, buddy. Listen, friend, people say absurd things all the time. I mean, it may not be apparent to them that it's absurd, but if anybody's got any sense, logically, theologically, intellectually, things just don't make sense. So I'm going to talk to you today out of this passage that Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, has written for us. And listen to what he said in verse 1. The cause behind it, the purpose behind Peter writing. He said, this is the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. This is his swan song, like 2 Timothy was for the Apostle Paul. I mean, Peter just wrote two epistles when he was done with this one, when he said, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all, listen, or when he said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He laid his pen down. He was writing to those saints scattered abroad. But he said, wait just a minute, I've got a reason. I've got a purpose. He said, I need you to do something. I need you to hear me. He said, the reason I'm writing, he said this. He said, in both epistles, my first and my last, he said this. He said, I stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance. You know what? You know what Peter was writing to, who he was addressing, who he had in his mind? He was addressing people that were sincere. I mean, sincere in their Christianity, sincere in their walk with the Lord. They were sincere in who they were and what they were and why they were doing what they were doing. So, you know what Peter was writing to them? Peter said, now listen, I'm going to stir you up. You need stirred up. You need to know this. You need to hear this. You need to be aware of this. So, I'm praying by the grace of God, knowing it's under the inspiration of God, that it's going to do that very thing. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, God's men, when they wrote books of the Bible, they just wasn't doing it to pass the time for no reason, to have no effect. God said a long time ago in the book of Isaiah that His Word would accomplish what He intends it to do. It'd go to where it needs to go, and it would do what it needs to be done. Hey, Peter wasn't wasting his time. Peter, bless God, was investing in an eternity, and he was investing in God's men. He said, now listen, he said, I've written you that are sincere. He said that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before to the holy prophets of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You know what Peter was saying? Peter was saying, now look, I want to emphasize something. Notice what he emphasized, friend. He emphasized the inspired truth, the preserved truth, the consistent truth. He emphasized, friend, that there is an undeniable unity in the Word of God to the Word of God. It doesn't matter whether it's prophets of old speaking, whether it's the Lord Jesus Christ while he walked on planet Earth speaking, or the apostles that preceded him or succeeded him, followed him. Excuse me. Hey, I want you to know something. The Word is consistent. I mean to tell you, it follows a pattern, has a great theme, has a great story. There is no errors. There is no deletions. There is no limitations to it. I'm telling you, it's perfect, pure, and it's preserved in heaven. And Peter said, listen, I want to throw you back to the Word of God. How many times have I read in the Word of God where the Word of God throws the reader of the Word of God back to the Word of God? I think maybe the best illustration of this is when John Baptist was down in prison. When he sent some of his followers to see Jesus Christ, Jesus, you know what he told him? You know what he told those men that came to see Jesus when John said, look, you go ask him, are you him, or do we look for another? Jesus, oh, glory to God. Jesus just said, look, you go back here and tell him what the Word of God says. You tell him, remember what Isaiah prophesied about the lame walking and about those people, friend, who are blind seeing, about, bless God, the good news being brought from heaven. I'll tell you, friend, Peter throws them back to the very Word of God. Now look at what the scoffers do. Peter is setting forth the Word of God. And listen to what he said in verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. You know what their source of authority is? From their ideology, for their theology, for their thoughts in this thing. It's just simply, friend, listen, it's just simply their own lusts. My, how we see that portrayed today. How we see that played out in our day and in the hour in which we live. Listen, friend, we've got the Word of God. When I talk about the Word of God on this radio program, and I preach for any pulpit that I preach from, or even the side of the road at times I have in the past, I'm talking about the King James Bible. Hey, thank God. Listen, I believe one of the problems that we're having, one of the reasons for the problems we're having in our nations today, whether it be in our home, in our schools, in our church, in our government, wherever it is, friend, it doesn't matter. It's because we've abandoned, friend, that one source of authority. That old King James Bible that's over 400 years old. That Bible, bless God, that's been tried and proven. Hey, friend, it's been denied. It's been this and that. But I want you to know it still stands the test of time. They refer to it as, quote, the old King James, like it's tired and worn out. I'll tell you, this book, bless God, that I hold in my hands, this book that I have before me, this book that I preach from, hey, I want you to know, it's got more power in the man than could ever imagine. Listen to what he said. Peter said, look, I'm throwing you back to the Word of God. And these scoffers, these people that mock the Word of God, these people that laugh at the message of God, these people that don't believe what thus saith the Lord. You know, all they go on is what they feel. We're living in a society, bless God, that they're motivated by feelings. I mean, we've raised a generation of people that thinks life and decision and eternity and their soul is to be decided on how they feel, what they think. Hey, they even say, look, you know what? Truth's not truth unless it's my truth. Unless I say that it's truth, truth isn't truth. Can I tell you that's the dumbest thing? That's absurd. Do you know that? You've got it. What are you thinking? You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. Some people think that. They'll come to you and say, you know what, preacher? Well, I know that book's true. I know what it says. I can read it. I hear what you say, but I just don't believe it. Therefore, it's not true for me. Hey, friend, I'm telling you, we're living in a day that Jesus could come any minute. We're living in a day, listen now, where men are walking planet Earth. They're known as scoffers and mockers. And you know what they do? Here's the funny thing. It's a paradox, is it not? I mean, it is a paradox, actually. Those scoffers and mockers who actually scoff and mock the Word of God actually fulfill the Word of God by doing what they do, by ridiculing the Word of God, not throwing doubt on the Word of God, by casting disparaging words and ideas and actions against the Word of God. Hey, but hold on just a minute. Can I tell you something? Can I warn these scoffers today? There were scoffers in the day of Noah. There were scoffers in the day of Lot. But I'm telling you, friend, listen. Hey, bless God, they've changed their mind. They're not scoffing now. They're in the pits of hell. They're in the regions of the damned. And I want you to know, they're not scoffing at the Word of God. They're not scoffing at the warnings of God. They're not scoffing at the messages that Noah preached every day. Bless God, he and his three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, worked on that big boat. They're not scoffing at the messages out of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the cities of the plain. They're not scoffing, bless God, at those angels that came and brought blindness upon them. Oh, friend, I'll tell you, you can mock today, you can scoff today if you want, but I'm going to tell you what, friend, you won't be tomorrow if you find yourself in the pits of the devil's hell. But he said, now look, they're scoffers walking after their own lust. That's their resource. That's their source of truth or untruth. Let's go on. The Word of God doesn't stop there. And they're saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep. Now watch this. Here's the absurdity. Here is the place where I've got to ask. You've got to be kidding. All things continue as they were from the creation. Boy, I'll tell you what, if I had time, and I don't, I'd go down through a list of things. Man, I'd pick up things like my associate pastor by the name of Josh Scarberry preached at our church when he was preaching through the book of 2 Peter, did a phenomenal job on it. It's up on our website if you want to go find it. I'm sure he would be pleased if you listened to it, and God would bless you. But he said, now listen, nothing has changed. Listen, friend, almost everything has changed. I want you to know something. The book of Ecclesiastes 1 and 9, the Bible said there is no new thing under the sun. Now, I remember when God gave me insight on that. I remember when I learned what God was talking about there. When the wise man wrote that under inspiration of the Spirit of God. You know what he was saying? Listen, the nature of man is the same. It never changes. From one generation to another, it's depraved. It's in need of a Savior. Hey, it's fallen. It's sunken. It's affected by sin. I mean, the nature of man, listen, never changes. But how that nature is displayed, how that nature is shown forth, how that nature, friend, proves itself, it manifests itself in many, many different ways. And can I tell you, we're not living in an evolving society. Hey, listen, friend, we are devolving. We're getting farther away from God than we've ever been. We're losing our fear of God. We don't even think about reverencing God. I mean, there's so much change in this world, in man, and how he displays who and what he is, what his heart says. It's just beyond recognition in some degree to me. Now in verses 5, 6, and 7, Peter's going to give us, and I'm not going there yet, but Peter's going to give us two examples about, look, when people say all things continue like they were from the beginning, he's going to tell us, listen, little man, God's had this in control, and there's all kinds of change. I'm just going to give you two examples. Can I tell you what, friend? There's been change, like Josh preached, in many, many things, in the thinking of man, for instance, about evolution and creation. May I tell you, friend, listen, there's not a choice in my mind. There's not a question in my mind. Hey, friend, this thing that we're living on, the people that are living on it, this planet Earth, mankind, we've not evolved. Bless God, listen, there's so much order in this universe and the universes around us. There's so many there's so much structure and substructure in man as far as all of the different systems in his body to make it work, even in a single cell, even in a single atom, even in a single molecule, that there must be a divine hand behind it. Hey, it takes more faith, bless God, to believe that evolution is real than it does to believe creation. What about the problems? Bless God, when you begin to think about gender, I mean, have we lost our mind or what? What in the world are people in elementary school that are teachers doing sexually abusing our children when they're teaching them that they could decide what sex they want to be, when they teach them that pornography is good? Hey, they're pedophiles. They need to be locked up. Those people that are trying to confuse our children, they ought to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, and leave everything else up to daddy and to mommy. It's not their stinking business to confuse our children. Talk to them about their sex. Tell them what's right morally and not morally right. Bless God, that ought to be taken care of in the home. If that isn't enough, they're pushing the left agenda. This CRT stuff is straight out of hell. Do you hear me? It's dividing our country. It's creating more racial division than anybody could ever imagine. And people are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. But let me move on after I say this. When God created man and woman in the beginning, bless God, listen, nothing has changed. Do you hear me? There is a man and there is a woman. And if you don't know what you are, get in front of a mirror and find out. Look, not only, bless God, when it comes to gender, but what about family? The enemy's trying his best to destroy the family. You say, why? Because he knows it's the very foundation of any society. Man, I'm telling you, he's wanting to ruin the family, does he not? Wants to break it up under any means and under any cause that he can. Wants to rock confusion in it. One of the greatest damning things that ever happened in America was in, 2012? When the Supreme Court, under the leadership of Obama's administration, signed into law that thing called gay marriage, said it was legal. It may be legal in the eyes of man, but it's not in the eyes of God. And let me tell you, sir, ma'am, you're not going to stand before man in judgment to decide your eternity. You're going to stand before God, who in the beginning created him male and female, created he them. Oh, listen, friend, we need to get back to the basics. Get back to the truth. We need to quit walking after our own lust. Get back to the very book. Bless God, that'll judge us one day. And what about God's Word? Hey, listen, friend, there's so many versions. Hey, it kind of confuses me. I mean, it tears me up to think there's over 400 versions of the Bible. Oh, my Lord, and preachers don't have enough sense to get out of the rain and tell their congregation, well, you just choose you one. You just find one that suits you. Can I tell you, that's not God's plan for writing the Word of God? He didn't write it to get man to be satisfied with it. Bless God, He wrote it to satisfy Himself. Hey, we're so confused, are we not? The scoffers and the mockers are going round, and you know why they're having so much trouble? They're walking after their own lust. They've abandoned the Word of God, the men of God, the message of God, the intent of God, and it's no wonder we're in the shape that we're in. One more, and I'll move on. What about salvation? These are the points of my associate pastor, Josh Scarberry, again. Listen, friend, let me tell you, regardless what the Muslims say, regardless of what the yogists say, regardless of what the Zoroastrians says, regardless of what yin and yang confusion and Buddha says, listen, friend, there's one way to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way. But He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I'm the door. He said, I'm the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. Hey, friend, I'll tell you, He said it plainly. No man can come unto the Father but God by me. Hey, friend, there's only one empty tomb. You'll find it out the north side of the city wall, the city of Jerusalem, unto this day. Bless God, it was occupied for 3 days and 3 nights. But all listen, on the third and appointed morning, that body, bless God, that was laid there after it died at Calvary, hey, it got new life in it. It rose, it ascended, and it's still alive today. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, friend, you've got to be out of your mind if you think everything's continued like it has from the beginning. The very God that created, the very God that had the power had to create, bless God, when He wants to move, when He wants to judge. He's already proven that He could and that He has in bringing judgment upon the earth and bringing a cataclysmic judgment upon the whole earth. He's proven His power. He's proven His purpose. And listen, when it's time to do it, He'll do it again. Hey, not with water, but with fire. God has proven He can break through at any time He wants and use whatever way and means that He wants. And then let me give you an old psalm if I can. Psalm 115, and I believe it is verse 3. Listen to what He said, "But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." I am here to tell you God's in control. Hey, you scoffers, you mockers, you know what you do? You prove the Word of God in what you do, mocking and scoffing. Hey, let the Word of God prove itself to you today. You go to God and say, "Hey, I've been wrong. I've been messed up. I've been deluded. I've been in the darkness. But today, I'm stepping in the light. My heart's broken. My spirit is broken. And I'm coming to You with a contrite spirit. Now save me for Christ's sake." And you know what the Word of God says? He'll save you. He won't turn a broken heart and a broken spirit away. Hey, thanks for listening. Until the next time, God bless you is my prayer.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.